The Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great team over at The Magic for Less Travel. Right now is a great time to plan your next Disney getaway, as there are some awesome deals out there for Walt Disney World in the fall. Of course, we have free dining available for select dates. There is also a pretty sweet room-only offer out there for that same range of dates as well. Hey, and don't forget about the Disney Cruise Line. We're booking all the way through 2015. And of course, don't forget about the Be Our Guest podcast cruise on the Disney Dream. We're sailing on a double-dip cruise to Castaway Key on July 10th, 2015, with lots of podcast activities, a podcast recording on board, and you'll be included in all of the fun. Don't forget, when you book a cruise with the Magic for Less, you're going to get an up to 5% onboard credit to spend any way you like during your cruise. Check them out today. Lots of great agents that are eager to help you out and share their passion for Disney. They're right there for you at themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 714 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, for BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. And you might say, hey, Mike, how do you still have a voice left to do a Friday show? Well, you know, we thought about that here long and hard. We've been doing this for 5 years now. So first of all, thank you so much for being a part of the 12-hour live show. That's our big signature event of the year. We can't do that without you. Absolutely not without you. But of course, this Friday show was recorded before Wednesday so that we knew we would be able to get a show out on Friday, because we are going to rest and recoup for the rest of the week so that we're ready for another great year of podcasting and lots of fun. So no kidding. Thank you so much for being a part of that show. We did record this one before the 12-hour live show, and we're going to have some fun today talking Disney with you. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and you can check her out over at Magically-Speaking.com, the great newsletter you need to come into your inbox. We have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
Well, you know, I know that we are recording this early, but I just want to say a big, big thank you to everyone who donated, all the special guests that we had, such amazing people are in the Disney community, and, you know, every year this event just proves it to me. So I'm so thankful for the Disney community, and I know that, you know, sometimes we all don't necessarily get along, but for one day, you know, this is such an important day that we all come together, and, you know, as a community, it's just so nice to see everybody come together, and that's the biggest thing is that you know, we help to raise money for such a great place. So thank you to everyone who took part in Wednesday's event.
That's right, and we'll be doing it again in 2016 in the or 2015 in the summer. I'm getting ahead of myself there with that question we had on Wednesday about 2016. Oh, yeah. So we still got to do 2015, but we're gonna just kind of relax today and talk some Disney and kind of catch our breath. And joining me as well, we have Debbie from MakingMagicAndMemories.com. Happy Friday, Deb.
Happy Friday, everybody. And I agree. I mean, you guys rock. Thank y'all so much for everything, for the support, for Give Kids the World. You guys, I cannot tell you how proud I am to be a part of such an amazing podcast family. I am truly honored to be a part of it.
That's right. And, you know, it's great when you open your wallets, you open your hearts to these families, and shows that you have so much compassion. And we're just lucky to get to be the avenue to get to talk Disney with you. It's all you guys that build the community and give it back to us so many times over what we put out 3 times a week. So thank you so much for being a part of all this and letting us talk Disney with you. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, I love doing this show. It's absolutely my baby, and I just absolutely love talking to everybody on Twitter, on Facebook, everywhere, especially down at Walt Disney World. So let's get to today's topic, because as you guys know, next Friday night, man, I am on my way down. We're going to load up the trailer. It's going to be packed. We've got the trailer ready. Mallory has her big dance recital on Friday night at 7 o'clock. But as soon as that final number hits, you know, and the kids, I guess I'm picturing they all come out and do like a big bow at the end. I'm grabbing her and we're getting in the car. We're heading to Florida immediately.
I could just see Mike going, hurry up, hurry up.
Let's go. Yeah,
if anybody yells encore, I'm taking them out, man. No, 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 no encores. She can dance in the back seat for 17 hours as we head to Cocoa Beach to get ready to get on the cruise.
There you go.
Yes, I'm very pumped. So today we're going to talk. We're going to continue that series. We're not going to take 3 months in between episodes for this series. We're going to go back-to-back Fridays, and we're going to talk about where location matters in attractions and shows over at Epcot Center. So we're going to go over to Epcot Center, talk about location, and we'll start off with, you know, right where you see when you walk in, you got Spaceship Earth. I don't think, to me, this one really matters at all. I think location is fine. You got your kind of front row, back row, left and right. So, Debbie, would you say location matters in Spaceship Earth?
I'm a front row kind of person because I like to see everything. So, yeah, that would be me. Left to right doesn't matter, but I like the front row.
All right, Ricky, what about you?
I don't think it really matters, although usually I end up sitting on the left, but, you know, I think you get a wonderful view both sides of the train, so, or the Omnimover, I guess I should say, so.
Yeah, I would prefer front row too as well. I don't think left or right matters. Why are you always on the left, Ricky? Is there a reason?
Yeah, because I always get in first, because whenever I'm with Brian, I'm always in the lead, so I always get in first. It's just sort of a thing. I'm always like, okay, let's go, and so, yeah.
All right, well, let's move over to our left, Universe of Energy, starring Ellen. Now, this one, you have a plethora of choices many times of the year. You can really sit anywhere you want. You can have your own row. You can even actually have, basically your own bed you can lay down on. This one, again, is an attraction that I don't really think matters. I mean, I'm trying to think of the show as the train starts moving through the scenes with the dinosaurs, with the animatronic scary-looking Ellen.
Yes.
I would say location, not a big thing to worry your head about. What do you think, Ricky?
I would agree. The only thing is you may not want to be in the right car, like the right most cars, just because that is the row that leaves last. So that's the only issue that I may see. But overall, I mean, I think that you're absolutely fine in any of the seats, you know, there, especially if you're me, because you're more than likely just taking a nap. So
I knew that was going to come out sometime.
Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, any seat preferably is fine. Just as long as I get my own row and can lay my head on Brian's lap, I'm good to go. So.
All right, Debbie, so you have any thoughts for Ellen's Energy Adventure?
No, I don't think there really is a choice seat. I think what you said is pretty much on point.
All right, let's go to Mission Space, and we have green and orange, and you have four spots to sit in there. Of course, you can be the engineer, the pilot, the navigator, or the... What would the other person be? I'm trying to think of the four positions
engineer.
In Mission Space.
Engineer, pilot,
navigator, commander.
Yes, that's it.
I'm your commander, folks. So I would want to sit in the commander seat. Ricky, which spot would you pick? Since location really doesn't matter because it's the same thing for everybody.
Yeah, I guess one of the two middle seats.
You want to be? I want to be the commander, of course. I mean, that's, you know, you could tell by the show. Like, I want to be the commander. I want to drive the thing.
For some reason, I always end up being the one that puts people in hypersleep. I don't like that one. I put that one, and I don't remember which one that is, but I don't like the hypersleep one. So
hopefully you're not putting people in hypersleep every time they listen to the podcast.
The show. Yeah, exactly.
That's not good.
No.
All right, Debbie, so which position would you pick out of those four?
I think that's the navigator one, because I always get that one too, Ricky. I always get to put people to sleep.
That's just great for our show.
I think if you try one of each just to say you tried them all, why not, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's move. Still kind of moving around Future World over there, Test Track. So you have a front row and a back row, and you have three seats across. You have a middle seat, left and right. I would say just, you know, I don't care really. I don't like sitting in the middle. I'll say that. I do not like sitting in the middle.
Yeah.
I like to have elbow room. And the guy in the middle, or the gal in the middle, you don't get the full-on seat belt either. You get like the little lap belt. Like, you're not as important.
True.
I'm really worried that I'm going to crash, but I'm thinking everybody else is more well-protected than I am. Like, I got just a lap belt. Are you kidding me? Like, am I not going to get slammed into the windshield too? But, you know, no, seriously, the front right or front left is best for me. But as long as I'm not in the middle, and I'm fine in the middle, but I'd rather not be in the middle, being a tall guy, and I like to have more space. So, Debbie, Test Track, where would you think the best seat would be?
I've actually sat on the right side, and I did not have a problem with it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I was in the back row, so because it was my first time and my only time that I ever rode Test Track, so I kind of felt a little more protected when I had people in front of me. So that was my choice place.
So they're the crash test dummies, not you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right, Ricky?
I would say front row for sure. I don't think it really matters either any of the seats in the front row, but front row definitely. But I'm always single rider, so I usually end up on the right of the attraction because that's the seat that single riders usually go on. So, you know, there's that. But I would much rather sit in the front than the back. I think you get a better, much better view.
Yeah, you know what? I think that you're right. Single riders are going to tend to be put on the far right, because what's going to happen is usually it's going to be a couple and you're going to be the third, and the couple will go on 1-2 and you'll be the third.
Correct. So, yeah, unless, you know, for some reason you have somebody that's, you know, like a family of four and there's no, you know, two people, you know, to take up one of those spots, you know, that's the only way that's going to happen. And usually they can find a couple to take those other two spots. So,
all right, well, let's head over to the other side of Future World. I can't ever remember if it's east or west, but we're going to go over to...
West!
The west. We're going to go over to the Seas with Nemo and Friends. And, of course, you're just in a Clammobile. They can seat up to three. Usually you see two people in there, but they can seat up to three. Location does not matter in this one because everybody's getting the same view, kind of on the same lines as Haunted Mansion at the Magic Kingdom. Agreed, Ricky?
Agreed. Absolutely. It's the same thing.
Okay, so let's just skip over to the Land Pavilion because there's nothing else in there.
Do you want to do Turtle Talk?
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, the kids get down in the front, the adults in the back, but Ricky, do you have any thoughts on location for Turtle Talk?
Yeah, I think especially for someone like me who's shorter, you know, the front seats are always more preferable. You can see in the back, but you've got a lot of heads in front of you. So that's just something to keep in mind. And especially if you're among one of the shorter people in the world like me, you inevitably get someone who's very tall that sits in front of you. So I would stay closer to the front.
Do they still, I haven't been in there for quite a while, and I do love this show, but I think what happens is, you know, like we're going on our cruise here in a week, and get almost the same experience on the Fantasy and the Dream with the Animator's Palette dinner. It's kind of the same thing, but you're getting getting to eat an awesome dinner during it. I think that's why I haven't been back, because you kind of get that same technology and show. But do they still just talk to the kids in Turtle Talk? I think that's what it is. They don't really talk to the adults, do they?
Yeah, sometimes they talk to the adults. I mean, usually it's like the parent of one of the little dudes or dudettes. But for the most part, it's just the kids. Yeah.
Right. And I was just there. Yeah, I was just there a few days ago. And I agree. They do talk to not only the kids, but the parents. And we sat on the back row. Mm-hmm. And we had a great time. We had great seats. We were right in the center. And we had perfect seats.
Sounds good. Awesome. All right. I'm glad you thought about that, because that's one of those things that, you know, we could do a show on overlooked attractions. And I rush by Turtle Talk. And that's one of those that every time I go in, I'm like, man, I should make this every trip. It's that cool. It's like last time we did that Piggy Bank adventure. Like, I didn't even think about it till just right now when you brought up Turtle Talk, that like we had such a good time doing the Great Piggy Bank Adventure last Christmas time. But, you know, it's totally not on my radar again, you know, even though we had fun with it. So
yeah. Right. It makes sense.
All right. So let's go over to the land and living with the land. You know, the land that I love, Nature's Plan, will shine above. So the place to sit now, of course, they have replaced the cast members that used to ride with you with the, you know, tape recorded little message there. And I don't mind it. I mean, it's more consistent. It's nice. It's fine. You know, it's not that big a deal. I did like to have them on the boats, but it's not like it's life or death. And I do really, I mean, I just love this ride. Again, I've talked about this so many times. This ride is awesome. And it's so weird because it's like floating through a greenhouse. But I do like it. And I really don't care where I sit. I just want to be on one of the outside edges so I can, you know, but even though I probably shouldn't be, because like I'm so tempted to touch the sand. And like, you know, and then some 8-year-old boy has to touch the sand, and then immediately they get yelled at. It's like, they're watching, man. So I can't touch the sand. But I would, you know, maybe front of the boat, left or right. I really don't think that location does matter on Living with the Land. What about you, Deb?
Yes, I just rode this, like I said, a few days ago, and I love the front row, and I love left or right. I'd like to be on the edges because I'm a big plant person. We all know that. So I love to take really good, sharp, crisp pictures, and you get some really good pictures if you sit on the actual ends of the boat.
All right. Ricky, thoughts on Living with the Land?
Yeah, I would have to agree with Debbie. I would say the front row, if you can get it, is going to be key. You don't have anybody in front of you, so that part's nice, and you get just a wide open, you know, view. So I would say front row. for me. But I don't think, again, like Mike said, I don't think there's really a bad seat in the attraction. But I if I had to prefer a choice, that would be where I would choose.
All right, staying in the Land Pavilion, we're going to go to Soarin', one of the most popular attractions. Ooh. And this one, you really don't get a choice. It's kind of random draw where they throw you into a row, and that's where you're going to be in the attraction. So it's really not an option. But if it were up to me, I like to be at the highest of the three Ooh. Levels because you don't have the dangling feet right above your head. And that bugs me. And the thing is, like, when I get to lower levels, at first I always think, oh, those feet are going to drive me crazy. But I'll tell you what, after like the San Francisco, like where you go over the Golden Gate Bridge, I really don't notice them after that. Like it kind of just, they disappear. You don't notice them because you're focused on the movie. So don't get like hung up on, oh, I see feet, because you'll probably forget about them within 10 seconds. But if I had my druthers, I'd be at the very top row. So Debbie, I think, have you done this one time? I know you don't prefer it, but have you done it once, I thought?
I've actually done it twice.
Twice.
Times, I know. And no, I'm not going to do it again. I tried. But I did ride the bottom on both times. I honestly did not feel like I was high up. So for those people who really wonder why I'm afraid of it, it's the illusion of how high you are, because physically I did not think that was that high really off the ground. But when you open up and you've got your little feet dangling and you've got this little strap that's like a teeny belt that's guarding you in, I know. So I personally, and the edges, I sit on the sides. If you're afraid of anything like this and you're trying it, there's really no safe comfort zone for you. But if I did like something like this, I think that there really isn't going to be a bad seat, because it is such a wonderful view of everything.
And you do want to try to be centered to the movie screen. I mean, obviously as center as you can get, but they're going to tell you where to go. So you don't, this one, I mean, there are better seats, but you're really not in control at all on this one. I mean, it's going to be just kind of random draw. So, well, speaking of that, Debbie, how high do you think you are? I mean, I would say maybe 30 feet at the most off the ground in the attraction at any point, do you think?
Oh, Lordy, don't ever say that out loud to me. You'll never get me back on that thing. I was guessing maybe 8 to 10 feet, and I know it was higher than that. But it just, because I was so trying not to worry about it, I didn't realize until I was there. And you don't know because it's so dark behind, below you.
Yeah, interesting.
Good. And I know it's a lot higher than that. You're right.
Yeah, it's an illusion, though. You're right. I mean, obviously, it's basically a flight simulator. So yeah, that's what it gives you. So, Ricky, anything to add for Soarin'?
No, I would say middle. And middle, like, you know, there are three of them. So I would say middle one and then top row. That's what I would pick.
All right, staying on this side, Journey into Your Imagination, which this one you do have a lot of options because you may be the only one in the entire car. So
yes.
It doesn't matter to me on this one. There's no preference in my opinion. So Debbie, any preference for Journey?
Nope. I think you could do well no matter where you sit.
Yep, just hold your nose. Ricky?
You do know that it's the smell of burnt coffee, right? It's not really...
It's skunk.
It's not really skunk. It's burnt coffee.
It
but,
stinks. Whatever it is.
It's something that I would smell all the time when I worked at Starbucks. So I know that smell well. So I would say if you're really looking for like the key seat, I would say middle section. Like if like the third, there's like five cars, I think. I would say the third car, which will end up being the middle in most of it because your car turns, and then the front row if you really cared. But I don't personally care. I think that anywhere is fine in that attraction. But I mean, if you were looking for like one of the best seats, I think that would be the best.
So. All right. Well, we're getting to the biggest attraction of Epcot and maybe Walt Disney World. We have Captain EO starring Michael Jackson. I would say middle of the theater, about 2/3 of the way back. Same thing. It's same strategy that we talked about for Muppets over at the studios. Debbie, anything to add for EO? Yes, you do.
No, actually, I think that's, you're right, Mike. I think in the center stage, 2/3 of the way back would be perfect. If you do get a little bit closer, that's okay, because they are such, it is a very big theater screen. So I think that's a very good idea.
That's right. Ricky, save the world.
Yes. I am going to say it really doesn't matter. I think that there's pretty much any seat in there is just fine. I probably would sit about 3/4 way back, 2/3 to 3/4 of the way back, but I think anywhere in there is just fine.
In this one, you are totally in your own control of where you sit. There's not going to be a huge crowd. I was just joking. All right. So let's head over to, let's talk about these three altogether. Actually, two of them. We have the Circle Vision 3D movies in China and in Canada. Because France is a little bit different because it's not Circle Vision. It's just
right.
It's a theater. And it's, you know, it's a basic theater to sit in the middle wherever you want. But the Circle Vision, is there any like place that's better than the other? I mean, is the middle better, or is it to be, you know, kind of pick one of the sides where you guys have to pick and say, you know, I'm going to be up front on this side, but in the back of the theater, you know, as far as since the movie screens are all the way around you. Debbie, how do you treat the 360 theaters?
You really, unless you're running around the room the whole time, I like to sit on the edge so that you can see at least part of it. You're right there without people in front of you for both, you know, the different areas around you. So I always pick on the edge of one so that I can get the perfect view of one and then look over people's heads for the other side.
Yeah, I tend to always, and I don't know if this is on purpose, but I tend to be more towards the back of the theater in relation to the person who speaks, like the cast member who gives you the introduction and the closing. You know, like they usually have kind of a little podium that they go to.
Yes.
I always tend to be more to the back, not up front, but in the back in respect to that person since it's a circular room. I don't know why. And I enjoy all the movies. I really do. And I do like to kind of twist around and see what's going on behind me and on the sides and so forth. So, Ricky, how do you treat the 360s?
You know what? It's been so long since I've been in a 360 that I can't even, like, I know I've been in there and I know seeing the shows, but it's been a really long time since I've actually seen the shows. So I can't tell you where I would prefer to stand because I haven't seen them in so long.
All right. Well, that's one way to do it. All right. Well, let's go to Maelstrom over in Norway, boat ride there. And, this one, it's got that. Those boats are kind of interesting because they're those Norse-looking boats, and they have that big kind of neck to the front of them, you know. So it's kind of a little bit of an obstruction to the view, but it also really sells the Viking boat. They got to have it, to be honest. I mean, it makes the boats look really cool. To me, it doesn't matter where I sit in those. You know, I'm trying to think, like, has ever my experience changed because of where I'm sitting? No, not really. So, Ricky, what would you say?
Yeah, I don't really have a preference either. I'm just happy to be on Maelstrom. I'm like, yay, Maelstrom.
is one of your favorite parts, like when you first go up the hill and you get that eye from the thing? I love that. Like the crystal
eye. That part is pretty cool, not gonna lie. I like the whole attraction, and I will be sad when it will probably more than likely eventually be turned into Frozen. So, I mean, I really do like Maelstrom. So, you know, I'm gonna enjoy it while I can. Although now, gosh, it seems like it's super busy all the time. So, it's kind of like, well, my Maelstrom is not, you know, the walk-on that it usually is.
I know, right?
So it makes it a little hard. It makes me a little sad, but.
You know they're going to turn that eye into like a Olaf's eye or something.
Exactly.
You got to keep some of the original stuff. So, Debbie, what do you think about Maelstrom? I mean, is there any better place? I don't even think the back or the front of the boat matters because of that big neck. I don't know.
I personally, my favorite is because I have been in Norway. I love it for get for pictures and just because it just really just makes me feel like I'm just enveloped inside the whole country. But I love the front on the right side because whenever you drive up at the very end, like you're getting ready to dock off to go into that movie theater, you've got this wonderful, quaint little village feel. And I love that because it really does. It reminds me so much of Scandinavia. So when I get up there, I just take a lot of good pictures, but I just love it when I drive up or float up there and get some really good shots while I'm still in the boat and you don't have other people obstructing you.
Ooh, good call. I was thinking more of the beginning of the ride and you're thinking of the end. I like that.
I am. That's why I prepare.
All right. Very good. All right. So let's go over next door to Mexico and we have the, well, it's not the Rio del Tiempo anymore. It's the Three Caballeros, the Grand Fiesta Tour. That's exactly what I was looking for. So, again, there's stuff happening on both sides, video screens. It's like it's a small world. You have stuff going on all around you, so I don't think it really matters. One of my favorite scenes on this one is the fireworks at the end in that big room. That's probably my favorite thing, the fiber optic fireworks. Again, kind of goes along with the lasers in the Voyage of the Little Mermaid at the studios. Very old, but so old that it's cool again. So, Debbie, any preference where you sit for the Grand Fiesta Tour?
No, I'm like you, Mike. I don't think there's really a bad seat.
All right, Ricky?
No, I like the whole thing. So it's just fine for me anywhere.
All right. So
unless you want to see people eat at the Mexican restaurant.
Oh, that's true. If you want to grab some tortilla chips, sit on the right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Salsa and tortilla chips real quick.
I know. Toss them over here.
It's Fuente, man. And I'm not at Los Fuentes. Help me hook a guy up.
No.
They'd be like, well, this guy is crazy. Anyway, so let's close out the show with our best or maybe our most recent discovery or something that's new for you as far as checking out Illuminations, Reflections of Earth? Where would you tell somebody that, you know, never been to Walt Disney World, you want them to get a really, really good experience kind of all around where they don't have to sit there for 2 hours, but they're going to see the show. They're not going to miss the effects that are out on the water, like the globe and stuff like that. Debbie, where would you point them to go see the show?
Oh, gosh. If you get there early enough, you know, maybe the bridge over between the International Gateway, France and the International Gateway. Yes, that bridge is not too bad, but you have to get there early enough so that you will have a good standing, not a sitting, but a standing, or even just, you know. Yeah, I've gone over to Mexico before, but there are a lot of trees there. They do tend to block the view a little bit more. And you are closer to getting out of the park.
All right. That's a good point there. Something to think about. So, Ricky, what about you? Somewhere to go check out Illuminations.
Oh, man. It is hard in a way. There are so many great spots. I think that Norway is one of my favorites, actually. There aren't that many trees over there, and I think that it's, you know, it's a really good spot to go. I recently watched it from Japan, and it's really cool to watch it from there if you can stand back a little bit and you see it over the Torii Gate. I think that that's really cool. The one spot that I would kind of avoid is, I will have to say, Morocco is not, like, the best. There's some trees in the way. That's kind of why I was surprised why they built Spice Road Table there. Because when I went and viewed it from Spice Road Table, there were definitely some trees that were in the way of the globe. So I wasn't that impressed with the Illuminations viewing area from there, and I think that that's why it's not like super super popular, you know, like you're not hearing about it, you know, being super packed at night then, because there are some trees in the way. So I think my favorite is Norway overall.
Yeah, that was going to be one of the big concerns a lot of people had. They said people are going to camp out at Spice Road Table and you're never going to be able to get in there at night, you know, and apparently that's not happening.
When I saw it, there were definitely trees that were in the way. So of the globe, for sure. You could see the fireworks, but the globe definitely had trees that were blocking it. So, I thought that that was really odd that they decided to build that there, but whatever.
Maybe that's why they built it there. Who knows? Maybe it's just like, what else are we going to do with this spot?
I don't know.
You know, mine goes right along with what you said, Ricky. Lately I've been checking out Illuminations kind of between Norway and China, kind of right where those two pavilions kind of merge. That's kind of my spot there. It's kind of to the left of Akershus. Looking at the lagoon. That's a good spot. All right. Well, location does matter at Walt Disney World, apparently. So we want to hear your thoughts. So drop by our Facebook group and let us know. We'll start a thread today and, ask for your suggestions, because what you have to say can help us all plan a better Disney vacation. You know, maybe we haven't thought about something. So again, drop by facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast and give us a like. We love getting new fans over on the podcast page over on Facebook. And we talk Disney over there, and Ricky does a great job running that site. So we'll have a good time always connecting with you. So please do that today. Don't forget, today's episode has been brought to you by the great folks over at The Magic for Less Travel. So when you're looking to book a Disney destination, let the agents over at The Magic for Less take care of all the work for you. You want to make a partial payment? You just shoot your agent an email and say, hey, you know what? This Friday I get paid. Let's put down a couple $100 towards that Disney vacation. They'll do it for you. You don't have to call Disney yourself. You don't have to wait on hold. They'll do it for you. They'll shoot you a new confirmation. They'll take care of you. If you need to change up your reservation, decide, I want to have a garden view instead of a standard view. They do that stuff for you. All you got to do is just shoot an email or a phone call or a text. It is a piece of cake. It's like having your own personal concierge before you head down for your Disney vacation. So check them out today. Support the show. Drop by themagicforless.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at BeOurGuestMike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. Don't forget to download our free app for all iOS devices. It's called the Be Our Guest Podcast Trip Planner app. You can listen to the show. You can listen to Magical Mouse Radio. You can interact on Facebook. It's just a great way to stay in touch with the show all in one place, and it's absolutely free. So download the Be Our Guest Podcast Trip Planner app in the App Store today for all iOS devices. All right, so we're going to duck out of here and let you get on with your weekend. Again, thank you so much for the support of today's show, for all of the previous shows that we've done, but especially for Wednesday. Make a Magic for families that could really use it. You guys are awesome. That's all I can say. You guys are incredibly awesome and compassionate, and thank you for just being you and for supporting everything that we do and allowing us to talk Disney with you and be able to do things like we did on Wednesday. Couldn't do it without you, so thank you again so, so much. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.